And then they will see the Son of Man coming upon a cloud with great power and majesty. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the things I'm amazed at is how good Hollywood is at getting evil right and how poor they are at getting good right. If you look at The Lord of the Rings, they kind of get King Aragorn and the good people right in those things, but in a certain sense there's a sadness to them and there's a drabness to just how they dress and act. It misses how they are in the books. There's beer and there's cheese and there's joy and there's songs, and you know, you picture kind of like bold colors in these in the good characters, Sam and Frodo and King Aragorn and everybody. And you miss that in the movies. It almost seems like it's kind of like extremely bad with the orcs versus kind of bad with King Aragorn. I'm not saying they're bad, but there's something cinematographically missing in showing just this joy and this exuberance and these bold colors that you get when you read about the saints in, say, Chesterton or even Tolkien's writings when you actually read the book. But the orcs, knew a woman who actually could see demons. She said they look like orcs. Isn't it interesting that Hollywood gets the evil right? I don't really watch a lot of alien movies, but strangely this year, three different people have invited me to watch an alien movie. And of those three alien movies, I would say two of those had bad aliens in them, and one of them had good aliens in them. And the one with the good aliens just had very drab, kind of amorphous goodness about them. They were bland, philanthropic blobs of goodness in the good alien one. But the evil aliens were spectacular. Very much how I picture demons acting and looking and taking people over and everything. Hollywood, strangely, a little suspicious, seems to get evil right. Well, imagine this as an alien plotline. Evil aliens take over a space station, and they're killing people and releasing their cadavers into the cold grip of outer space. Then you find out that a very good captain is coming on a secret rescue mission in a much better space station to rescue those people taken over. But his rescue plan has a glitch in it. You have to die. The captain did not invent this death, but he did invent a medicine that brings you right back to life when he finds you floating in space, cold as the rest of outer space. It will work as long as you don't deny him in the torture process of the aliens. Now, in that story, turn those aliens into demons and enemies of the church, and you now have how the early Christians saw Earth and the afterlife. But it was that real for them, Earth and the afterlife. They understood that there was nothing to do to save this Earth. It is a beautiful place, but it had become too corrupted. But God would not destroy it yet, so as to keep free will, because free will is the only pathway to have certain people love him with their whole hearts, souls, strengths, and minds. So Earth was overrun by demons and people like Roman emperors who worshiped these demons as false gods. Of course, this captain coming to rescue them is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who not only died to keep them from getting bitten by these demons, but this good captain also gave them a ticket out of the demon-overrun location if only they would accept death at the hands of these demons and Roman emperors. They could come to his kingdom forever if only they would accept a very short death in love and a faithful, free adherence to the king and his kingdom that began as a small community 2,000 years ago. There were only two asterisks, so to speak. One, don't deny the rescuing king in your time of trial. And two, you can't kill yourself. When a pagan in the early Roman Empire became a Christian, they were not worried about government feeding programs in the Roman Empire. They were not thinking there would be a 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth where there would be no more sin for a period. They were only interested in getting their families to the afterlife. because they knew that as long as free will existed on earth, many would choose the wrong path. You see, an early Catholic Christian, in a very non-morbid way, saw death as the quickest ticket to the next kingdom. It's not that the king wanted people tortured and dead, but again, in a world of free will, this would be the way of total victory over those evil people who thought they had power. Christians' faith, that is, was the victory, because they knew the greater was he who was in them than the demon aliens that filled the whole world at the time. You see, unlike us kind of dim-eyed 21st century Christians who are very earthly-based, who are very worried about happiness here on earth, the early Catholic Christians knew that the new planet they were headed for, and I use that on purpose, the Bible says we are destined for a new heavens and a new earth. We will get our bodies back. That's the resurrection of the body. These early Catholic Christians knew that this new heavens and new earth was more real than this earth. More real. If only you would suffer without rebelling in this very short trial period and not deny the king in the midst of your temptation or the midst of your suffering. As the Apostle Paul wrote the early Christians, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Early Catholics completely understood there were only periods. Early Catholic Christians completely understood there were only two periods of each and every man, woman, and child's life: earth and the afterlife. And that earth was not a place to make perfect, like that silly song goes, "Let us build the city of God." No, for the early Christians, the city of God was just that, the city of God beyond, the real location of heaven, more real than anything on earth. It was worth everything. It was not the city of God built here on earth except for the Catholic Church. It was not perfect social justice established. Yes, we are to serve the poor as it is Christ himself. We are to fight against trafficking and abortion and everything else. But we must realize we will never attain perfection here. We will never fully eradicate suffering on this earth. And too many of us grew up with a Catholicism that taught us that was the whole goal of our soup kitchens. You see, the true kingdom of God cannot be built by social justice, because this space station will burn. What a small price, then, if we could just pass the test of what this life would be. And really, that is all this life is, a very short test. St. Augustine wrote, "Can you expect me not to feel anxious when I read, 'Is not man's life on earth a time of trial?' Can you expect me not to feel anxious when the words still ring in my ears, 'Watch and pray that you will not be put to the test'?" This is one of his sermons where he talks about singing here on earth, but not mistaking this for the final goal. We rejoice here on earth. Doesn't mean we're all called to just kind of go around as sad Catholics. But we have to realize the joy is not going to come from creating an NGO or a 501c3 to get rid of all suffering. The early Catholic Christians were about transforming suffering in this time of trial. Is not man's life on earth a time of trial? Yes, it is. And that is precisely why we sing. Because if we suffer without denying the captain, he will rescue us as sure as the sun arriving after a long night. Today's collect, quote, "Put forth your power, O Lord, we beseech you, and come, that with you as our protector we may be rescued from the impending danger of our sins, and with you as our deliverer may we obtain our salvation." Close quote. You see, nowadays when we hear Savior as Americans, we just sort of think of it as something sweet that goes on a Christian Hallmark card. But in the first century, the holy name Yeshua was more of a physical rescuer to those early Christians. He came to rescue us from this short, rotten earth to a real location where we get our bodies back. Yes, there are beautiful places on Earth, but it's not our permanent home. We are circling the drain, and actually, that's okay. Think of yesterday's saint. Saint Bibiana was a Roman martyr and virgin who lived under the power of a Roman emperor who pretended at one point to be a Christian, but he actually turned to torturing Christians worse than almost anybody before him. That's how he gained the name Julian the Apostate. An apostate is one who used to be Christian and turns away. And one of the prefects under Julian the Apostate there in Rome had this little girl whipped so very badly, and she died. And she was given the free ticket to heaven. She made it home. The early Christians, when they were celebrating Holy Mass in the catacombs or private home, when the Roman Empire busted in and arrested them all, they did not fight back. Last year at this time in Cairo, 25 Orthodox Christians were killed by Muslims in their Orthodox church. I think they were all women, since they do what Catholics used to do, have all the men on one side and all the women on the other. And the Muslims planted the bomb on the women's side and killed 25 of them. The early church cherished martyrdom as a ticket out of this rotten planet. Yes, we should see what we can do to alleviate the suffering of the unborn and the trafficked and the poor, since that is Christ himself. But we must never expect full success at ending suffering on this earth. It's overridden by sin, and it's crashing. Father Ripperger, the exorcist, says him and some other exorcists have all come to the same conclusion, that we've been in a free fall since 2008. So much more, then, do we need the lighthearted encouragement of St. Paul, who really doesn't seem to care how perverse the world is, if only we Christians will be the light to it, as he says, that you may be blameless and sincere children of God, without reproof in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That word lights is also stars in the Greek. We're in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, but among whom you shine as stars in the world. Even if we 21st century Catholic Christians do not have the opportunity to refrain from denying Jesus under torture, we should realize that any time we are under a really strong temptation to sin, we are being asked to deny Jesus Christ. And when we refrain from sinning, our faith is our victory. This is our faith. The temptations are often those things that come from a demon, a real life demon, asking you to deny Jesus. And when we sin, we literally deny Jesus, as those early Christians under torture, but we have less of an excuse. Every word of gossip is cracking under the whip of a demon asking you to deny Jesus. Every time we ruin the reputation of a friend or an enemy is 1,000 whips on Christ's back, because we couldn't take a couple whips from a demon, a whip no longer charged with venom because of our baptism and frequent reception of Holy Communion. The power is taken out of it, and yet we still give in. We still deny Jesus with this same tongue that received him in Holy Communion, even gossiping about our brother or sister in Christ. Listen to what the Apostle James says about the human tongue. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Today begins a new year in the Catholic Church, since it's the first Sunday of Advent. It's not some little liturgical trick that Mr. Priest likes to say from the pulpit every year. Today is the day of the Lord, the true beginning of the entire year. A year that may have big things in store for the whole world and the Catholic Church. So today is actually the day to stop sinning, once for all, especially with our tongues. Especially with our tongues, since if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, says St. James. When you decide with all your hearts to stop sinning, as the early Christians did, you will notice a new joy and a power arise in your hearts, like those early Catholics focused only on heaven. You will be thrilled to see the coming of the king in all of his formidable power. Again, I don't like dictionary sermons, but I did look up the word formidable this week. It's a great definition. Definition is of discouraging or awesome strength. Why could we use that to describe God? Why awesome? Well, that's obvious, because God's coming will leave us in awe. Why discouraging? You know, some of the holiest prophets in the Old Testament lose it when they see an angel. Just an angel. Just the power of an angel will make a fully grown prophet lose his breath and other things, to the point that he is discouraged at his own lame existence. And this is only seeing an angel. What will it be like to see God return in glory, as we heard in today's gospel? Formidable, of discouraging and awesome strength. We Americans have become way too comfortable with God. Advent is the time when we prepare for Christ's coming as a baby and his second coming, which is also known as the final judgment. Would you look at pornography tonight if you knew that the captain was coming tomorrow? Would you even look at something mildly immodest online tonight if you knew the sun would be rising with the Son of Man coming on the clouds? We will see him in his glory and be judged by him either at the end of time, that is, the final judgment when all time stops, or when we die, which is called our particular judgment. We will see him face to face, and it will be formidable. The final judgment is described by Jesus himself today in Luke 21. He's describing his own coming. And then they will see the Son of Man coming upon a cloud with great power and majesty. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand. I'm not giving you this invaded space station analogy to sound cool or modern movie-based or relevant for the young people, but to show how temporary the early Christians saw this earth and how permanent is heaven and hell. We must understand sin is denying the captain, albeit under distress, but it still compromises our rescue. So let's add one more thing on my analogy to explain the Catholic faith. For those left in the very last days of the space station, the rescuing captain will storm it with all of his power and take home the remaining people, and the old space station will be lit on fire. This is the final judgment, and yes, this earth will burn. It's right in the Bible, 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. And the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. You know, if someone were to ask me what I think of climate change and say, you conservative Catholics don't believe in climate change, you know what my answer would be? I believe in more climate change than you. The fact is, if you look at all of the charts, and I, not to brag, but I studied medicine at one of the very best schools on the East Coast, I know how to look at a scientific chart. And the fluctuation before the Industrial Revolution was exponentially worse than anything that has begun since the Industrial Revolution. Of course I believe in climate change. I just don't believe it's man-based. Because of how much fluctuation there has been to the Earth's temperatures for thousands of years. We have proof of this. When smart scientists are disproportionately stupid, that key disproportionate usually points to something diabolical. Why are they promoting this? Could it be that demons want us to put excessive care for the environment? And by the way, quick asterisk, I'm all for good stewardship. I'm all for not polluting. All those things we're given Earth to take care of. I'm from Colorado. I still have a little hippie in me. I'm all for that. But when there's a disproportionate push to save the Earth at the expense of sterilization, contraception, and abortion that loses souls forever, I can tell you who's behind that. Climate change? This earth will burn. That will change the climate. Souls will live forever. this rotten capsule will burn. And yes, there are some beautiful places here, and yes, we have to serve the poor as if he were Christ himself. But even the streaming light of beauty on this earth will be darkness compared to the fluorescent shadows of heaven. And this is why I don't fear the captain storming this sinking ship. Because as much as my soul might not be ready, I am so excited to see the terrible and awesome power of God bring an end to all injustice. It's like that line in C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia when Susan asks Mr. Beaver about the lion. He responds, "Aslan is a lion, the lion, the great lion." "Ooh," says Susan, "I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "Safe?" said Mr. Beaver. "Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. Of course he isn't safe. He's a lion, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you." This captain coming to rescue us that we prepare for this Advent. Unspeakable power, unspeakable goodness. I really have less surety than ever that I'm not going to be among those saved. As I look at how much I've wasted my years and my priesthood when I could have been doing so much good. But still I feel like St. Thomas More kneeling on the chopping block, who when asked if he was really ready to go before God, the future saint simply responds, "He will not refuse one who is so blithe to go to him." Which is why I still thrill with joy at the thought of Jesus' second coming. As terrifying as it will be, when all of time stops and we look in the sky more violent than the wildest hurricane, a day more silent than the eye of a hurricane, when you will look up and see the Son of Man coming upon a cloud with great power and majesty. One day, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lion of Judah, is no longer coming as a baby, but coming on a cloud with great power and majesty. Yes, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.